The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. It's Friday, April 9th, 2021. Welcome back to the CBS Sports I Own College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting dodo birds and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me, and we are both back home after a week in Indianapolis for dead leg. It was a little longer. The coaching carousel continues to turn. Most recently, Arizona decided to fire Sean Miller after 12 seasons, so another big, big job has opened. And I know this happened a couple of days ago, and theoretically, we could have done this podcast a couple of days ago, but in the spirit of transparency, I was exhausted, and Deadleg was sick. Deadleg, how you feeling?
I'm on my way back here. I mean, my body...
I thought it was over for you for a minute.
It was never over.
There was two times this week, I thought it was over for 76 Indiana, and I thought it was over for you. I thought you guys were both going out same week.
Well, I'll tell you what, made it back to Connecticut. Drove, 12 hours, 20 minutes or whatever.
After you get a good night's sleep? Do you get a good night's sleep?
3 hours?
On Monday?
3 hours of sleep. So here's what I think happened in part. So I think my body was like, you sit the F down. We're done here. It's over for you for the next 48 hours. So got back home, had a random assortment of food Tuesday night at like 9:45 at night. Went to bed pretty quickly after that, and then... Listen, I'm not going to get graphic. It just got bad. Frequent trips overnight. And then I had my first vaccine shot scheduled for Wednesday, late afternoon, early evening. But I was feeling so terrible. And, I was in a football stadium with plenty of people who opted not to wear masks as they cheered or yelled at the refs. That's like, I got to get a rapid test. So... I went and got a rapid test. It came back negative. Actually, literally as I'm, the test swab is up my nose. As it's actually happening, my phone buzzes. Sean Miller's just been fired. Okay, this is wonderful. So I was recovering for a couple of days. On the mend now. Actually got the vaccine first shot.
And you're a half-vaccinated man right now?
I'm a half-vaccinated man, but because of that, because I was under the weather, it kind of continued to set me back a little bit more. So appreciate anyone's patience.
Are you rocking that Pfizer, or are you rocking that Johnson & Johnson, or are you rocking that Moderna?
I'm rocking that Pfizer.
I'm fully vaccinated Pfizer. I'm Team Pfizer myself.
Yeah, there we go. I'm rocking that Pfizer. Half-vaccinated situation over here. So... that is in large part why we're getting to this little coaching carousel update podcast a little later than normal. But hey, we're giving it to you leading into the weekend. And oh boy, it was rough there for a little while. But we're getting back on track.
I thought it was over for you.
It wasn't over for me. I was 76 Indiana. I had it the whole time.
I thought it was over for you. There was a day like maybe yesterday, you didn't return a text for like 3 hours. It was a group text. And as a collection, the group, we thought it was over for you.
No, I just, it actually felt good to not be around the phone so much. Oh, gosh, needed that break. No, my body really was. Because the thing, like, in Indianapolis for 13 days, you're either in your hotel room. That's just not good for the psyche, by the way. You're in your hotel room or you're at a game, basically, or you're, I was able to go, and there were a couple of nice days where I just walked around real quick. But other than that, no, it was, and plus 3 hours, we podcasted, I packed, slept for 3 hours, and then I made the drive. Whew, man, that was something. But yeah, here we are. And actually, when I made that drive, I'll swerve right here for you. When I made that drive, it was at that point where the Sean Miller stuff was plenty noisy. Like, when's this going to happen? This seems now it is inevitable. And it didn't actually happen until Wednesday. But the day after the championship game, I'd say behind the scenes, it had clearly reached a stage where it was pushing toward that point, and it was just a matter of when exactly it was going to happen. And then it wound up happening Wednesday. I want to say when that thing was getting jabbed up my nose, it was about 12:30, 12:40 in the afternoon.
Yeah, same situation with me. I was talking to somebody on Monday night, and they were like, "So you looking forward to getting back home?" I said, "Yeah, I am looking forward to getting back home, but the everything in between now and getting back home is going to be awful. Like, I'm going to podcast till 3 a.m., and it ended up being until about 3:30. I'm going to then pack, fall asleep around 5:15, and then get up at 7:45 to do HQ, and then I'm going to go to the airport. I'm going to fly from Indy to Atlanta, Atlanta to Memphis, go straight to the studio, do a radio show. And, like, you know, I'll do it. I'll get through it. I always get through it. But, man, I'm dreading the process." And this person said, "Oh, yeah, well, just wait till they fire Sean Miller right in the middle of all this." So, like, behind the scenes, people were starting to expect this was going to happen. It didn't happen on Tuesday, but it did happen on Wednesday. Sean Miller out after 12 years. Your thoughts?
Well, let me start with your thoughts. You wrote a column on this that basically asked, if you were going to do this, you know, the FBI announced its investigation in 2017. Why not a year ago or 2 years ago? And that column, I'll link that column in the podcast description if you have not read it already. There's certainly a point to be had there. Arizona could have made a change long ago, and it didn't. Seem a bit weird to you, the timing of all this?
I don't know about weird, but certainly questionable. And I want to be clear, I'm not against Arizona firing Sean Miller. I'd have probably done it years ago. I just don't know why stick by him for years while all of this is swirling. And it becomes crystal clear that basically every rule you can break as a staff was broken on his watch. I don't know why you stand by him through all of that and then fire him now. A, when the notice of allegations finally arrived and it was kinder to Sean Miller than I think most anticipated it would be. And B, when he's got probably, at least in my mind, had a preseason top 25 team, ready to go. Now, whether they would have been eligible for the tournament or not remains unclear. Because, you know, they still haven't been punished by the NCAA. But my whole thing was either do it years ago or just ride this thing out the way Kansas has decided to ride it out with Bill Self, for better or worse. To do it now is nonsensical from my perspective. Now, in fairness, Jeff Goodman reported that the explanation for why now was that the administration wanted to do it previously, but there were some big money boosters who had sided with Sean Miller, and therefore the administration couldn't pull the trigger on it because of those money people. To that, and I'll just trust Goodman reporting here, to that I would say, well, then that's a failure in leadership. That's a failure on the administration. It is your job to make these big money people understand why staying with Sean Miller throughout all this is counterproductive to the program. I don't want to say ruins your reputation as a school, but certainly damages your reputation as a school. Regardless of what you think Sean Miller may or may not have done, it is undeniable that multiple assistants on his staff were committing major rules violations. So he was either a coach who was condoning cheating or a coach who didn't do enough to stop it. You pick. But one of the two. You hold on to a guy like that, it damages, at the very least, the reputation of your school. And then to fire him, by the way, 5 weeks after the season ended, which do it years ago, or if you're going to do it now, do it weeks ago. Why now? And the explanation seems to be, well, they finally got the big money boosters to sign off on it. And to that, I say, congratulations, but your failure to do that earlier is a failure. And a total lack of leadership, and it's created a situation that is worse than it should have been or could have been.
All right. So I can support Goodman's reporting here and maybe bring some more information to light. So like 3 weeks ago, I was going to have just like a 600, 700 word story as part of the court report tied to this whole Sean Miller deal. And I can't remember, something sidetracked it. So we never ran it. And then I was going to basically report this whole thing when I got home from the tournament, if nothing had changed, because they were at a stalemate here. And here's the deal. Like, the athletic director, Hickey, is powerless at Arizona. Talk to anyone connected to that. He has no say in anything that's happening with any of this. It is all the president, Bobby Robbins. The president has been stuck between an 8-person board of regents, like 4 of which I guess were anti-Sean Miller from the get-go, another 2 which were, I guess, could be persuaded, and then I don't know what the deal with the other 2 was. But that was one side. And then you had a few very influential boosters who were supportive of Sean Miller from the get-go and essentially saved his job up until this point. What I don't yet know is what shifted here that ultimately made them cave in. But what I do know is I was told that Sean Miller had 1 year left on his deal. So as the timeline played out with all this, he got a contract extension in early 2017, which would have been about 6 months before the FBI announced this investigation. So Sean Miller had been able to coach up to this point because he had gotten the extension on his deal before we even knew the FBI was having an investigation. Now, I've been told Sean Miller was never going to go into the final year of his contract and coach. Like, that just wasn't going to happen. It was either give me a 1-year extension or a 2-year extension or just fire me. I'm not going to coach for with 1 year left, because that happens at the America East level. That doesn't happen at the Pac-12 level or the SEC level or the Big Ten level, etc. So it is odd that it waited this long. I mean, there was just a curiosity for a few weeks here, because Arizona, again, wasn't postseason eligible. And they just kind of let this dangle out there. Arizona got a commitment from an Eastern Washington grad transfer, I think, a couple of hours before they fired Sean Miller. Like, what? I was also told there was, like, an associate athletic director that walked into an Arizona workout or whatever the day before he was fired, and this person was never around Arizona previously, not once before, so they kind of felt like something might have been up. Very weird. You're right, though. Leadership failure from the top. We can get into the candidates. There's also speculation that because Arizona did it on this timeline, like, they didn't fire Sean Miller until after the NCAA tournament was over. Tommy Lloyd, a Gonzaga assistant, has been connected as a candidate for this job. And, okay, why didn't you fire him 3 weeks ago? Why did you wait for Gonzaga's run to end? We don't know if Tommy Lloyd's going to get the job or not, but he's definitely in the mix. He's definitely interviewing for the job. I can report that. So, weird all around. Just weird all around. I guess at the end of the day, Parrish, it seems like the president had the pull of boosters that significantly matter for a couple of years. I did go back and look late last night. There was never like a real statement of true support ever from the president for Sean Miller in light of all of this. So it's not stunning. I would have to think that on some level, Sean Miller's not surprised by this. But there was a wonderment if it was going to go until May or June before something like this was going to happen. But they played out the string. You know, they're going to pay him for 1 year, and now they don't know how severe these punishments are going to be. I mean, the IARP stuff, I don't think that's happening for Arizona until, like, at least a year from now. Like, whoever the next coach is, I don't think they're going to be facing any kind of punishment as a program for the first season. We haven't even heard from the Memphis case yet. So, I don't know. Whole thing is bizarre. This is a top 10 job. I do think it's going to be facing a postseason ban at some point, I think. But probably not till 2023 would be my guess there. And now Sean Miller's out, and I don't know if he'll ever coach in college again. I saw Woj reported that, you know, him finding a spot in the NBA could be a likely landing spot. I could certainly see that. From an X and O standpoint, I think he will be able to find something there. But that's conversation down the road. But anyway, those are my thoughts and the read on the situation right now. As we record this podcast, there are interviews happening today. I was also told Miles Simon is interviewing today for the job. And a timeline for this, I was told Monday, official announcement maybe Tuesday at the latest. So this shouldn't take too long here.
No, because it sounds like they are interviewing, pursuing nothing but people who will take the job. Mm-hmm. Is that the way you understand it? That's the way I understand
it. It is how I understand it. And if you want to get into the candidates, we can. The only other thing that I was told to just be mindful of is that the Arizona deal isn't like exactly like Carolina. And we'll get into Hubert Davis if you want. But Carolina, it's totally like in the family. It's got to be one of us. That's how it's been since Dean Smith, right? Arizona, there is plenty of player influence, alumni influence, and that could ultimately come into play here. But it's not like that will rule at the end of the day. You know, that's why you have Tommy Lloyd involved in this. And maybe there's another mystery candidate that's not connected to Arizona that hasn't been reported yet. But yeah, what you're getting at is basically is my read on it. And they're going to interview people that want the job that are connected to it. And that's why you're seeing the names that you're seeing out there.
Right. I was on CBS Sports Radio the other night, and I was asked if the looming NCAA issues will minimize the type of candidate that Arizona can get. And I really don't think it does. I mean, you know, we could, you know, you look at the Louisville situation, you know, they had looming NCAA issues a few years ago, and they were still able to go hire the person they wanted to hire, which was Chris Mack. Why? Because it's a great job. And, you know, you can build things into the contract that you know, I'm definitely sure Chris had stuff put into the contract that if we are hit with these types of things, then my contract automatically extends. And I imagine Arizona, if it has to do something similar, it will do something similar. But from talking to people, every candidate that you've heard for this job is a candidate who will take the job. So it's Gonzaga associate head coach Tommy Lloyd. It is Georgia Tech head coach Josh Pastner. It is Lakers assistant Miles Simon. Pacific head coach Damon Stoudemire. I guess the one that would be a little unsure, whose name has been connected to it, would be Kings head coach Luke Walton. Like, you know, would he leave an NBA job right now to be the head coach at his alma mater? Maybe. So I guess I should reset it a little bit. That one's got a little bit of a question mark to it. But I imagine at Arizona, this is the bottom line. They are talking to people right now who they know will take the job. And at some point over the next few days, they will offer that job. That person will accept the job. And then that person will be introduced as Sean Miller's successor.
Yeah. And as far as how I read this, this is all the president that's doing this. The Board of Regents is the group that has the power to fire the president. And so I think that's ultimately why we got to this point when we got to it, because Regents were never going to extend Sean Miller. And he was caught between two powerful groups, the boosters that basically have helped put the program in the position that it's been in, and the Regents who control his employment there. And normally an athletic director, through approval of his boss, makes that decision, but that's not my understanding here at all. This is basically all the president's call, and by the time we're talking to you next, I would have to think that we're going to have a new Arizona coach.
If you're Tommy Lloyd and the job's offered, is it a no-brainer to you? You take the job?
I think so. I think Tommy makes close to $1 million, if not $1 million annually. He's regarded as, you know, one of the 3 to 5 best assistants in the country. And I mean, Arizona, you're making at least $3 million. It's a top 10 job. Don't get me wrong. He's got a wonderful setup at Gonzaga. He really does. And he is, it's in his contract. He is the coach in waiting at Gonzaga if he doesn't go. Now, if he does leave, I don't know if that would impact it or not. But, yeah, if you're offered it, I think you got to take that job. Even if there could be some sanctions down the way, I think you got to take it. So we'll wait. We'll see if it happens. But he's ready. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's been ready for a long time. He's turned down other jobs there. It'll be interesting to see if it winds up getting offered to him or anyone else, because there's definitely a push to keep this and get it to an Arizona guy, basically. And we'll see what the president decides to do.
Yeah, Tommy is 46 years old, and he will be, if he just decided to ride this thing out at Gonzaga, he will be the successor to Mark Few. But Mark's only 58. Like, you know, we're talking about a sport where men routinely coach into their 70s now. So if you're Tommy, do you really want to wait till your late 50s, possibly, to become a head coach for the first time? or be the Arizona coach at the age of 46? I think the answer is be the Arizona coach at the age of 46. Again, just to make it clear, I never insist what people must do with their careers. Like Tommy, things might matter to him that wouldn't matter to somebody else. Tommy can do whatever he wants to do, but Arizona's a great job, and there's real history there. The fan support is incredible. I would assume if it's offered to him that he will be the next head coach at Arizona, but for whatever it's worth, in the betting markets, have you seen this? You know who the favorite is in the betting markets?
Lay it on me.
Damon Stoudemire.
Hmm. Okay. Hey.
If I were guessing, and I would only be guessing, but guessing based on conversation I've had, so let's call it an educated guess. The next head coach at Arizona will be Tommy Lloyd or Damon Stoudemire. It's if you go outside the family, it's Tommy Lloyd. If you stay inside the family, it's probably Damon Stoudemire.
Straight out of the WCC, Damon Stoudemire has been the head coach of Pacific for the past 5 seasons, and there's a desire to get him to have that job there in Tucson. We shall see.
I think Damon would be terrific. Like I got to know him fairly well. It's wild how many of the candidates have connections to Memphis. You know, like Josh Pastner was the head coach there. Damon Stoudemire was an assistant there. Luke Walton was an assistant there. Damon, also played with the Grizzlies. He was an assistant with the Grizzlies and the Tigers. So I know that some people have referenced his record at Pacific. Like, he's 71-77 in 5 years. And that is true. But like, A, you have no idea what he inherited if you're referencing his career record, and B, you have no idea how hard of a job that is. There were people I know who told him don't take that job based on this alone. Who gets a West Coast Conference job besides the Gonzaga job and survives it? Mm-hmm. Like Randy Bennett, and that's it, basically.
And maybe Mark Pope. Yeah.
Yeah, but that, but that's a newer thing.
It's
but
true. Like you're right. Yeah.
You can never catch the Zags, and you probably can't be an at-large team, or at least at the time when Damon took that job, that was the reality of the situation. And it was just like, nobody gets out of those jobs. You take them and then you keep them for as long as you can keep them, and then you get fired, but you don't get out of there. So it's a hard job. And I can just tell you in basketball circles, he's respected. In the time that I've spent with him, like he seems to, this might be the simplest but also most vague way to put it, he gets it. I think he understands the sport. You know, sometimes NBA players, former NBA players come back to college and they don't quite get it. He gets it. I think he'd be terrific. But I also think Tommy would be terrific. And I would assume at this point, one of them will be the next head coach at Arizona. And I would assume at this point, we'll know it no later than early next week.
If you can believe it, Parrish, it's been 4 days since Hubert Davis was hired at North Carolina, literally, 5 hours before the national championship game tips? And we never even got to talk about that on the podcast. Shall we lay out our thoughts for the folks?
Sure, we'll get into that next. But first, check this out. Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So two big coaching developments this week in terms of high profile top 10 to 15 jobs in America. Arizona fired Sean Miller. North Carolina promoted Hubert Davis. As soon as Roy retired, most people assumed that Hubert would be his successor for a handful of reasons. A, they like to keep it in the family at UNC. Hubert very much is part of the family, played there, assistant coach there. And B, I don't think that Roy was calling the shot here. Like, I don't think Roy was naming his successor. But my understanding is that Roy did make it clear two things. He would like it to be a North Carolina person. And B, if we're picking from North Carolina people, he would prefer it be Hubert Davis. So honestly, there was no surprise here whatsoever.
Yeah, I agreed. On Monday, it was only one source, but I had heard from someone who heard from a person that interviewed for the job that basically said, this is almost certainly going to be Hubert. This just seems like this is the way that it's going. And then certainly enough, it was. I was actually a little surprised by the timing. Bubba Cunningham being the UNC athletic director and being on the men's selection committee on the day of the championship game. I actually just wondered if he might just let the day be for the title game and then announce it on Tuesday when we were traveling back, which I would have been more than okay with. I would have been more than for our own workflow purposes. But hey, I guess if you got your coach and you're going to call the board to approve the man and the contract terms, so be it. Hubert Davis is 50 years old, never been a head coach. And he is taking over a situation where, like, Carolina was not good a year ago. Wouldn't have made the tournament if we had one. It was just okay this season. Some roster retention issues here. Highly respected, no doubt about it. Considered to be just an all-time really great guy. I'll be interested to see how this goes. It's a historic hire because it's the first time there's been a black head coach in North Carolina men's basketball history. And I think he's got a decent chance to succeed here, but this is a wait and see totally for me. It just is, because he's never been a head coach and he's not inheriting the job where Carolina is just totally cruising right now. So he'll certainly have his initial set of challenges there. But if you want some optimism about all this, Parrish, you know, we'll see. You could have Boeheim in his last couple of seasons here at Cuse. You could have Mike Krzyzewski his last couple of seasons at Duke. Larrañaga and Bray, like, you could have a lot of coaches on their way out. Louisville may or may not be dealt something significant in terms of punishment there. Like, there could be an opening for Carolina for Hubert to really find some footing initially. But I think the state of the program the past couple of years, and this is why Roy stepped away. He said, I just don't think I'm the right man for the job anymore. I'm just not doing a good enough job. I'm not as successful as I want to be. The team isn't as good as I want it to be. That's why I'm leaving. And so with that acknowledgement, is the reality that Hubert Davis has what I think is the best job in college basketball, but this is a challenge. Like, it is, and it's. I'll tell you, it's even this. And he knows this because he's been on the bench for 9 years. GP, like, college basketball is not even the same sport when Hubert Davis left ESPN to take the assistant job. The transfer portal, NIL that's coming, all these things are we agree are wonderful for the player, but it is. To be a coach right now in college basketball, I mean, March and April, you're on two ends of the spectrum. You're either riding high because you're in the tournament, or it's hell because you got to re-recruit your own roster and refresh the transfer portal website every 30 minutes.
With Hubert, you know, I think it'll work. You know, first off, I think he was the obvious hire Because I know, like, somebody asked me, why wouldn't, you know, North Carolina go after Chris Beard? We have to understand the timeline here. Once Texas opened on March 26th, North Carolina opened on April 1st. By the time North Carolina opened, Texas had already opened, and there's just no scenario where Chris Beard was going to take North Carolina over Texas. You put both those jobs on the table for most people are going to take the North Carolina job. But Chris Beard's like, not the one guy, but on the list of people who would take Texas over North Carolina for a variety of reasons. So, like, it just in a different universe, if Texas doesn't open, like, you know, Texas beats Abilene Christian, goes to the Final Four, Shaka stays in Austin, and then North Carolina opens, then maybe you get Chris Beard. In fact, I think you probably do get Chris Beard if you want him. But once Texas open, you're not getting Chris Beard. So at that point, you're probably staying in the family. And promoting Hubert Davis was, again, if you're staying in the family, the most obvious thing that they were going to do. Like, people keep asking me, you know, what would, you know, should they have done this? Should they have done, I'm just like, maybe they should have done a lot of different, this is what they were going to do. This was what they were going to do. So it's done. And I think it probably works, you know, because I think most people probably work at North Carolina. I don't want to say it's an easy job, but you're set up to win there. You know, you don't have to climb some big mountain like you're at, like at Penn State or Rutgers. Like, you're set up to win at UNC. So I think it probably works, but I should say this about Hubert, and also to circle back to Arizona, if they do go the Tommy Lloyd route. With assistant coaches, I mean, with anybody, you rarely know, but with assistant coaches especially, you just don't know, you know? Like, it is – think of all of the people since you've been in this business who were incredible assistant coaches, and you thought, man, that guy's going to be a great head coach someday. And then he becomes a head coach, and it's just like, it's just whatever. And then they're fired, and now they're assistant coaches again, or not even in the sport. Like, the list is long. We don't have to name them. I'm not trying to shame anybody. But you don't know with assistant coaches until they get the job, and then they either do it or they don't. But anybody speaking in absolutes about people who have never sat in that chair, mm-hmm. you're playing a little bit of a fool's game.
Yeah, and particularly when it's a big job like this, it'd be wonderful to see Hubert Davis thrive at Carolina. And potentially he will. I mean, I think he does have a good shot there, but we will see. They've got an opening. But man, yeah, that was Monday was wild too. When that thing that went from Carolina might actually it might close today. They might name the next coach to they're calling an emergency meeting for the board right now. Oh yeah, no, it's they're actually going to do this. They're going to do this at like 3:45 in the afternoon when the title game is about to tip. Like, just from an inside look on everything, that changed in like 20 minutes. That was just a madhouse before the tournament tipped off there. But he's got a good shot. He does have a good shot. We'll see who he adds to his staff there. And he'll have all the support he could possibly need. So I look forward to it, and I do think it is a good hire. It is a sensible hire for North Carolina, and I look forward to just getting to hear and see Hubert Davis more. You know, he was such a peppy, optimistic, affable presence when he was on television, and then he was just behind the scenes for the past 9 years. Like, he wasn't a coach that was out front because he wasn't the head coach of Carolina, and he's got a really great energy about him, impossible not to like, and I think it'll be good for him in college basketball just to have Hubert Davis kind of more, you know, front and center the way that he once was, albeit in a completely different role. Can I ask you real quick about two other hirings that have been made in the past week or so that we should touch on before we wrap up here?
Deadleg, you can ask me about anything.
Okay. Mark Adams is taking over for Texas Tech for Chris Beard, promoted from within. Good move there. And you've got Porter Moser, who winds up going to Oklahoma. I think it's been almost a week since that happened now. Moser, who was connected to potential openings at Indiana and Marquette while he was in the tournament, then those jobs filled before they were out of the tournament. Oklahoma was open, and then Moser winds up going down there and finally takes the bigger job there. They're both in the Big 12. The Big 12 has plenty of noise around contract situations in general. You mentioned the Bill Self thing. He's got a 5-year ever renewing contract deal at Kansas. Beard's now at Texas. But between Mark Adams at Texas Tech, Moser at Oklahoma, which situation do you think the head coach there enters into a better spot? Adams, who takes over as the head coach after helping get Texas Tech to the 2019 title game, considered an elite defensive mind, and is probably deserving of the shot, or Moser, who has never coached in the Big 12 at all, is at the better program, and certainly has proven himself as a head coach in multiple deep runs in the NCAA tournament. Kind of a broad question, but just one I'm curious about from your perspective on it. Like, which coach do you think is set up to have more success, slash do you think might wind up having more success when we look 4 or 5 years down the road?
Well, I think Mark is clearly, it appears to me, clearly set up to have more success, at least initially, because he's been there and he seems to be holding the roster together. Like, you know, he seems to be holding most of the roster together. I think the Mac McClung thing is still a little bit up in the air, but like it appears he's going to be able to hold most of it together, which is especially impressive given the existence of the transfer portal. So I think he's set up to win. And then just like we were talking about with Hubert and with Tommy, if Tommy becomes the head coach at Arizona, like then we'll see, you know, like you know, he's an incredible assistant coach. Now we get to see if he can be a head coach, but you know, like he seems to be set up for more immediate success with Porter. And let me be clear on this. I think both these schools did, like, since you used the word sensible, you know, as it pertains to North Carolina hiring Hubert. I think these are both sensible things, if only because there aren't obviously great other options. You know, at North Carolina, you could have maybe done something bigger. But at Texas Tech, what are your other options? At Oklahoma, what are your other options? And Porter at Oklahoma was a, you know, he's one of the hottest coaches in America at the mid-major level. His career is remarkable to me and incredibly unique in the sense that try to name other coaches who were Division I head coaches for 14 years before they made the NCAA tournament, who got fired in the middle of that and is now a head coach in a power conference. Like, that just does not happen. For people who don't know, he was head coach at Arkansas Little Rock for 3 years. Then he got the Illinois State job, fired after 4 seasons. And then he was an assistant coach, got the Loyola Chicago job, and finished in the Horizon League 10th and then 7th. And then Loyola Chicago went to the MVC. He finished 10th, 6th, 8th, 5th. And that was, I believe, 13 years as a Division I head coach with 0 NCAA tournament appearances. And then, boom, they win the MVC, go to the Final Four. Next year, win the MVC, but go to the NIT. Next year, second in the MVC, no NCAA tournament. And then this season, win the MVC, go to the Sweet 16, and bam, he's the Oklahoma coach. I don't think you can find a story in college basketball that replicates that.
It'd be really hard. And that it's – listen, it's a testament that if you can make it long enough in this business and you can have success in the tournament, any kind of windows and doors could open for you. But I tell you what, Moser's, I think he's going to do a good job at Oklahoma, and I know he's thrilled to have that job. And now Drew Valentine, oh, by the way, has been promoted from within at Loyola Chicago. He's 29 and the youngest head coach in D1 men's college basketball. Congrats to Drew. That is Denzel Valentine's older brother, if you are curious. So he will now get that job there. I did have someone speculate to me, and this is a sliding doors kind of moment here. Someone speculated to me that if Loyola Chicago had simply lost to Illinois, that there is a chance, and, you know, who's to say? But they speculated if Loyola Chicago lost to Illinois, Moser might have been the guy for Marquette. He might be at Marquette now instead of Oklahoma. Now, maybe Marquette was always going to hire Shaka Smart anyway, but it's just like he was still in the tournament. Wasn't going to interview for jobs when his team was in the tournament. And it's just, it's interesting to see how these, sometimes the way these jobs break one way or the other. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but I was told that a couple of days ago. It's like, hey, you know, there is a chance. Like, there's no doubt about it. Marquette was interested, but at a certain point, they wanted to fill its job and Shaka was there, so it was going to take it. Why not? Well, like, I hear you.
Like,
But
there's a bunch of examples of that kind of stuff, you know, in recent years or like in the past 10 years. I remember when UCLA opened, I guess after Ben Howland, they wanted to interview Greg Marshall. But Greg Marshall was still in the NCAA tournament. He was actually in LA in the Sweet 16. And UCLA wanted to talk to him, and he just said, I'm not doing anything until my season's over. I am focused on this. If you want to wait, I'm happy to talk to you, but I'm not talking to you until after this is over. And they said, nah, we'll just hire Steve Alford. But if Greg Marshall would have lost in the round of 32 that year, or if UCLA would have been willing to wait, I genuinely believe Greg Marshall would have been the head coach at UCLA. But because he kept winning and they refused to wait, they went the Steve Alford route. And so the timing on these things is always interesting. Like if Shaka, like let's cut it both ways. If Shaka wins his first game, second game in the NCAA tournament, and Porter loses his first or second game in the NCAA tournament, like this whole thing could just be different. Yep. Shaka's still at Texas. Porter is at Marquette. Maybe Chris Beard's in North Carolina. Like the whole thing is different just based on these little bitty things.
Yep. Timing is everything. We're at 51 job changes, I believe. It's been a busier carousel than was anticipated. It was expected to have movement, but not to this level. 14 jobs in the seven major conferences, if you will, have changed hands here. And the only one that needs to be filled from a power conference perspective is Arizona, and we should have an answer to that. I'm told, I think the goal is by Monday, so we'll see.
And our goal will be, now that you're feeling better, half vaccinated, to jump back on, and we'll record a new episode of the Ion College Basketball Podcast whenever the Arizona job is filled. Can you commit to that, dead leg?
We'll see.
You can't commit to that?
I'm not going to commit to that.
I can commit to that.
Ideally, we're going to be able to make that happen, yes.
I can commit to that, as long as it's not right in the middle of a Mets game. All I do now is sit on my back porch and watch baseball. My favorite thing to do.
I'm happy.
Just sit on the back porch and watch baseball as a fully vaccinated man. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry MF and Teagle. Legend. Shouts to Larnell. And thank you guys for listening to the Ion College Basketball Podcast once again in the middle of the dumbest pandemic of my lifetime. Norlander, it's been something else, you know? You keep reading about these variants?
I haven't.
You concerned about the variants?
Of course, but
I didn't see this coming. Never seen one like this. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. We'd appreciate it. And I'm committed to talking to you again real soon. Dead leg, we'll see. Until then, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.